It's reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 34. Evam. Oh, instructions for civilized human beings. That's the chapter title. Evam. Abhyasyata. Chitam kalena alpiyasa yate anisham tasya nirvanam yati anindana vanivat. Eva abhyasita chittam kalena piyashayata anisham tasya nirvanam yatya nindana va nivat evam in this way. Abhyasyata, of the person practicing this yoga system. Chitam, the heart. Kalena, in due course of time. Alpiyasa, very shortly. Yate, of the person practicing yoga. Anisham, without cessation, tasya, of him, nirvanam, purification from all material contamination, yati, reaches, anindana, without flame or smoke, Vanivat, like a fire. Translation, when the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Please repeat. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time, his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Purport. Nirvana means the cessation of all material desires. Sometimes, desirelessness is understood to imply an end to the workings of the mind, but this is not possible. The living entity has senses, and if the senses stopped working, the living entity would no longer be a living entity. He would be exactly like stone or wood. This is not possible. Because he is living, he is nitya and chaitana, eternally sentient. For those who are not very advanced, the practice of yoga is recommended in order to stop the mind from being agitated by material desires. But if one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, his mind naturally becomes peaceful very soon. This peace is described in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. If one can understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything, and the supreme friend of everyone, one is established in peace and is freed from material agitation. However, for one who cannot understand the supreme personality of Godhead, the practice of yoga is recommended. So the text again. Evam abhyasyatas chitam kalenal piyasayate anisham tasya nirvanam yatyan yat yanindana vanivat. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time, his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutve Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskyatyade Satarne. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Yatadipo Nivatasto Ningate Sopamasmita Yogino Yatachittasya Yunjito Yogam Atmanaha. Just like a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so similarly, the yogi who fixes his mind upon me remains always steady in his meditation on the Supreme Self. The material world is a place of change, and therefore the soul is always being presented with all kinds of different circumstances. And unless the soul sees things in the right perspective, then the soul becomes subjected to the influence of material desires. Prabhupada writes in the 15th chapter, of the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 15, that desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the soul. The soul, we ourselves, we have the tendency or the propensity to desire. But our desires are not independent. We have to desire in terms of some circumstance. According to our present conception of life and conditioned life, that the material world is a place or an opportunity for sense gratification. That now, presently, we're in some material body, and therefore the body, having senses, also has an opportunity for arrangements by which the senses can come in contact with their objects. And this is taken in conditioned life as a source of satisfaction. But it is also a source of bewilderment, in the sense that Maharaj Vrishabhdev, as well as every other great personality, has said, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma Yat indriya pritya prinoti nisada manye yat atmano yam asanapi kleshida ashadeha. Nuna means indeed pramata. So we become mad. We're mad because we have a different identity of which we're not aware of, a spiritual identity, a spiritual personality with a spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, spiritual body, spiritual activities. And yet we're unconscious of our real selves. Instead, we become conscious of the external material world, and our center of focus is on this gross and subtle material bodies. This is therefore is called pramata, because we've forgotten who we are, and now, due to asmita, we're misidentifying ourselves with something we're really not. And we take this material body and its circumstances as everything. That everything, our happiness, our distress, our future, everything centers around the body. Of course, everyone knows the body's going to die, therefore there's not much future, but it's called illusion. Out of illusion, we try to forget the fact that the body's going to die, and therefore we try to make the best of our circumstances, or we think is the best of our circumstances. So this is called pramatta. It's certainly madness, because to work hard for a future that doesn't exist is certainly madness. Kurute vikarma. And not only the soul being bewildered into misidentifying itself with a gross and subtle body, not only does not work for its self-interest, it works against its self-interest. It's called vikarma. Instead of working to get out of the entanglement of material existence, its very activities further sink it into more and more identification with their gross and subtle material body. The laws of nature practically are not understood. The fact, Krishna said, that whatever state of consciousness we develop Then at the time of leaving this body, we get our next body. People do not even, first of all, they don't appreciate the fact that they're different from their body. And next, that they're developing their next body, just as we've gotten this body according to what we've done in the past, or maybe we've gotten the human form of life as a gift from the material energy, special compensation after traveling through the other 8 million species of life. Somehow or another, we've gotten the good fortune to get a human body, but our next body will not depend upon our own whims, depends upon the consciousness that we develop. Although the soul is pure, but due to association with the material modes of nature, it sometimes appears to be good, sometimes bad, and sometimes a combination. So according to our association in this lifetime, then we'll develop our next body, either a spiritual or material. Therefore, it's called vikarma, especially in modern society, where people are glorifying sinful activity. People are not embarrassed the fact that they're killing animals. What to speak of intoxication? Texas must have the most advertisements for intoxication in the world. As I mentioned, you can see a sign when you come into Dallas that says, first of all, you see all these advertisements for all these alcohol. And then another sign that says, drive, drink, and go to jail. One side, they're encouraging everyone to get intoxicated. Other is, you know, let's fill up the Texas jails with all these people we're encouraging. So it's vikarma. But a person who is sad, who has some knowledge about eternality, of reality, then they don't think like that. Asanapi kleshida. Because why work to make oneself miserable? People are actually trying to work to make themselves happy, but they don't know what the path of happiness is, and therefore they're working hard to become happy, but instead they're getting the opposite. Viparitam, cha. So this is certainly due to ignorance. Very simple knowledge. Of course, if you tell people your body's changing, but you yourself are not changing, you're the observer of the material world, this will not get anyone a PhD degree or a Nobel Prize. Although this is actually the basis of real knowledge. What to speak of the fact that, according to our activities in this lifetime, we'll get another body which will allow us to perceive more clearly our spiritual identity, or will cover our spiritual identity even more and force us to even act more impulsively according to the modes of nature to gratify our unlimited impulses arising from the senses and the mind. So human life is not to get more and more entangled in illusion and be more and more misdirected by the unbridled or uncontrolled senses. It's to diminish the impulses arising out of the senses and the confusion arising out of the coverings of the material energy. Therefore, an asanapi kleshita asha deha, by which one gets one body after another. Dumena vriyate vanir, itara darsho malena cha, itovana avrita garbhastata te nevram avrita. Just like the embryo is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the fire is covered by smoke, so similarly the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Avritam gena etena, gyanino nityavarina, karma rupena kuntiya, dusprena analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The avaratmika shakti and prakatmika shakti, the coverings of the material energy and the impulses arising out of the material energy, captivate the living entity. So what's the solution? So the solution is quite simple, but people don't like simple solutions because there's not enough challenge. They want to be challenged in present society. Just like the bird, they have a bird in a cage, they open the cage, the bird walks out, but the bird gets nervous. I'm free now. What am I going to do when I'm free? I don't know what to do. I have no brain, so let me go back into the cage and be protected by the cage. Similarly, a human form of life is an opportunity to get out of the entanglement. The opportunity is presented. The soul gets a chance to maybe walk out of his cage for a second. Then he gets nervous and goes back and closes the cage itself. Oh. But the solution is quite simple. Krishna says, Indriyani mano buddhira asya dishtanam uchate etaravan mohatyat yesha gyanam vrittidehina. The senses, the mind, the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. So Prabhupada says that the soul should find out where his enemy is. Otherwise, how can he fight against his enemy if he doesn't even know where the enemy is? So the enemy, lust, has captured different strategic places in the body, beginning with that the soul is constantly hearing the glories of sense gratification. This association or modern society exists simply due to glorification, how wonderful it is to make money and spend it, how many wonderful things you can spend your money for, and how happy you'll be with a big house and all kinds of electronic appliances, and you won't even have to think anymore. You won't have any brains left. You just surrender to technological society, and they just gratify your senses. You hook up into the machine, and one sense after another is gratified. So this is the dream of modern society, and people are actually buying into it. Let me work, get so-called money, a piece of paper they give me. I work, they give me a piece of paper. They print up as many pieces of paper as they want. There's no limit to how many pieces of paper they print up. And they just give me a piece of paper for my work and I'm happy. Oh, they're so kind. They're giving me a piece of paper. Never mind, today the piece of paper is worth so-called $100 of value. You can buy something. Tomorrow can only buy $50 worth of things. And the next day, 25. I'm working and they just have a printing press. Very easy for them to make money. They just print it up. Very hard for me to make money. I have to work hard for it. But I'm so happy that they're giving me a piece of paper. And I think I can buy so many things with it because there's always something new coming out. Although it's the same thing. Punak punas charvachu charvanana. This time they put a red wrapper on instead of a blue one, so it's 2008 instead of 2007. It's said that Americans, they, after 6 months, 99% of what they buy, they throw out. So that way they keep the economy going. Of course, they are chewing up the earth, but that's all right because the earth is not so important. When the earth runs out, we'll take all the garbage and make another planet out of it. In any case, hearing the glories of sense gratification, people become captured, and therefore their senses become agitated. They have to get this thing, they have to eat this, they have to taste that, they have to smell that, they have to touch that. Their senses become disturbed. And therefore, lusty intelligence, because they've heard all this glorification and sense gratification, influences the spirit soul to acquire a false ego. Because the soul now has to get a false ego so it can identify itself with this gross and subtle body to try to enjoy it. So when the intelligence becomes lusty, covered with all kinds of material conceptions, that I am this body, I'm here to enjoy, this is all mine, there's going to be a happy future if I arrange it, then the lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire the false ego, by which it identifies itself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. As I've given the example A man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman and immediately he wants to enjoy her. His mind says, go for her. And the intelligence says, wait a second, she has a dot on her forehead. It would not be very religious. You must follow the laws of nature. And the mind says, oh, who listens to these so-called laws of nature, religion? That went out with the prehistoric ages. We're in the modern age. The new law is, the only law, simple law, if it feels good, then you do it. So the soul has to make a choice. If it doesn't have sufficient knowledge, then it really thinks, well, I am the body, and gratifying the senses, bringing in contact the senses with their objects, is really my self-interest. The more consistently, the more thoroughly, the more intensely I gratify my senses, and the more I'm happy. So, with such an idea, the soul tells the intelligence, don't give me all this religious philosophy. Just think of a plan how to meet her. So the intelligence says, all right, I'll give you a plan. Write her a letter and tell her she's the most beautiful thing you've seen in the last 2 weeks, that you're madly in love with her. She reminds you of, you know, some goddess of fortune or something, and that she should meet you in such and such place at such and such time, and you'll give her the sun and the moon, and if she's nice to you, you'll throw in a few stars also. But don't sign the letter, because apparently the man standing next to her is her husband, and he appears to be twice as big as you are. So in this way, the intelligence is utilized for making plans for sense gratification. Or if the intelligence is more spiritualized, then it can be utilized to restrain the senses from their objects and fix the consciousness upon Krishna. Instead of thinking of enjoying the senses, one can think that actually everything here belongs to Krishna, everything is meant for Krishna's service, therefore I should go up to that lady and try and sell her a Krishna book. So that's called spiritual intelligence. And maybe her husband also, give him volume 2. So that's proper use of intelligence. Rather than looking at the world as a big object for the senses, look at the world as an opportunity for service to Krishna. So one, consciousness, one perception of life, one will simply imagine oneself to be this body, and the body to be the enjoyer and the controller of the material energy. And the other is that I'm simply an instrument for Krishna, a servant of Krishna, and that the body and the mind and the word should be utilized in Krishna's service. Therefore, the soul has that choice. But because we're not very clear, our intelligence is not very sharp, therefore, tasma tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatarshiva papmanam prajihyenam jnana vijnana nashinam. Therefore, in the very beginning, O Arjuna, regulate the senses by devotional service and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So at least, with some good intelligence, then we practice devotional service. Although the senses may be agitated, the mind may be confused, the intelligence may not be so sharp, but if we have some theoretical idea that actually I am a spiritual soul and that it is in my interest not to follow the dictation of the senses and mind, instead to utilize the senses and mind in Krishna's service. So even theoretically, knowing that, if we engage in sadhana bhakti, then gradually by such association with Krishna through the hearing and chanting process, as our intelligence becomes strengthened by association with Krishna, then we become more and more aware of our spiritual identity, we get a higher taste, and we become free from the reactions of our past activities, which manifests itself in growing awareness of how things are related to Krishna and less demands from the material senses, less and less confusion from the confused mind and the bewildered intelligence. Nashti buddhi yuktasya nachayuktasya bhavanaha Na chabhavintak shantira shantasya kutak sukham. But one is not in Krishna consciousness or devotional service, can have neither a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, unless we know that the goal is Krishna and I'm supposed to become Krishna conscious, what hope is there for peace? That I'm going to work hard throughout my whole life, grow old and die, and try and squeeze a few good seconds out of this material world. Not a very exciting future. That I'm going to work hard, and then when I get old, I'll retire, and I can spend the rest, whatever money I've saved up, on my medical bills. How wonderful. Then I could really make progress, because then they can replace my hips with plastic ones, a heart with a plastic one, and my brain with a plastic one, then I can get the real scientific fruit of all my work. I can buy a plastic heart on eBay, get one cheap. Go along with my plastic emotions that I've developed. No, without knowing that there's a goal, an eternal goal, by which I can become ever more enlightened and how to become ever more and more happy in relationship to everyone, then it's not very exciting to think I'm simply going to work hard. At the end, it's all zero, if I'm lucky. So here it says that there is a process of yoga, which is quite elaborate, by which one can also restrain the senses and their objects, but is more difficult because without getting the higher taste, simply trying to negate material existence, trying to be afraid of material existence, does not always work very well, especially over many, many years. The tendency is to forget exactly how miserable material life was, and therefore to think it wasn't so bad. There were some good times too, and therefore start to think about the good times. That even after practicing for 60,000 years, Vishwamrita Muni, so expert at the yoga system, he could actually practice for 60,000 years, simply by hearing the ankle bells of one apsara, became bewildered. What to speak, it doesn't take us 60,000 years to get bewildered. We just have to hear an old song and we're finished. Therefore, in Kali Yuga especially, without getting the opportunity to focus the mind upon Krishna, especially by hearing about Krishna, trying to understand him, trying to remember him, trying to serve him, without getting that opportunity to apply ourselves as the best we can, and therefore Krishna reciprocating and giving us a higher taste, then practically it's impossible to make any substantial progress in any other system. Although theoretically, by the yoga system, one can gradually get free from the tendency for sense gratification and mental speculation. But even in previous ages, it was seen to be a failure. What to speaking of Kali Yuga, where we walk outside, we're being bombarded by so much advertisement, so many people who are also bewildered by bad association. The whole currents of society is meant to drag people down to the lowest common denominator, to less than an animal. It's all an attempt to figure out scientifically how to get people as bewildered as possible, so that whatever intelligence they do have is taken away as quickly as possible. So people are just reduced to working hard for sense gratification. And if they have any religious feeling, it's only to pray to God for more sense gratification. On the other hand, by the process is so simple to hear about Krishna that anyone who applies it sincerely, even for some period of time, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna, the worshipping of the deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, and trying to make the atmosphere spiritual, we become convinced that there is another life, there is another existence, that we don't have to misuse this human form of life simply uselessly, pursuing the goals that people have created. Yandaya tandero pigiyamanas te pisha tantra uru dami bada. Blind people, they're just misleading other blind people, and the result is that society is being misled. They don't realize the amount of happiness can be had just by becoming associating with Krishna. If it's true that there's a spiritual world, Krishna, just by being there and associating with everyone, has captivated unlimited living entities there. None of them are trying to figure out how to come to the material world here, because Krishna is so attractive. But we can't imagine how attractive Krishna is, but he's making himself available through the process of bhakti yoga, so that if we just make a little attempt, gradually Krishna will become qualified to become attracted by Krishna. And if we don't, then we'll just be wasting our time pursuing the same goals that everyone else is pursuing and wind up the same failure that everyone else is winding up. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Can the intelligence be regulated and purified by devotional service, or is it that once the intelligence is regulated and purified, then one performs devotional service?
Well, by devotional service begins with hearing about Krishna. That means that the intelligence becomes more automatically purified. Just like if you light a lamp in a dark place, then the darkness can't put the lamp out or a match out. Similarly, as soon as we hear that we're not the body, the body's changing, but we ourselves are always the same, then at once our intelligence to some degree becomes purified. And when we keep on hearing, then we learn that we're actually Krishna's servant, and that there's a way of utilizing the present senses in Krishna's service that's further purification. And when we actually engage with the senses in Krishna's service, then we become further purified by becoming Krishna conscious, up to the point when we develop Krishna prema, when we become completely purified, or at least purified enough so that we're not distracted by the material energy anymore, the state of nishtha. Then we can concentrate fully on our devotional service to Krishna and develop our spiritual consciousness to the fullest extent. So from the very beginning, there's some purification. Just as soon as we hear from Krishna, then the purification begins. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.